the fallen, the remembered, the honored, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, sisters and brothers, soldiers, heroes. Today, we remember the profound sacrifices that have been made on our behalf. We remember the courageous men and women who have given their lives in service to our nation. Their legacy lives on in the hearts and minds of those they left behind. And their sacrifice will never and can never be forgotten. We honor their memory not only with words of gratitude, but also with a solemn commitment to uphold the values for which they so bravely fought and died. We ask God to grant us peace as we mourn those who gave everything for our freedom. May we always hold their memory dear and never forget the price they paid. So let us honor the fallen today as we remember our fathers and our mothers, our sons and our daughters, our sisters and our brothers, our heroes.
Tomorrow is obviously Memorial Day, and we wanted to pause for a moment to recognize the men and women who have willingly laid their life down so that we can live and celebrate the freedom that we exercise, even in this moment, the freedom to worship. I was reminded of that freedom that we have a few weeks ago when I was in the country of Nicaragua, a communist country where I experienced the heaviness of those who live there that do not have the freedom that we have today. And so, on behalf of the church, I say thank you to those families that have loved ones who have given their life. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, I would encourage you that tomorrow, as many of you gather with friends and family, that you remind your children why it is tomorrow is a holiday. That there are those men and women who have given their life. And today there are men and women who stand on the front lines to continue to protect the freedom that we exercise right now. I want to pray for those families and remember those who are continuing to serve. Before I do that, I also want to pray for our offering today as we continue to worship Him through our giving. So ushers, would you take your places at this time? Jesus, you became the ultimate example of laying one's life down when you died on that cross for our sin, for our redemption. Lord, we do think of those men and women that have gone on, that have paid the ultimate price so that we could exercise the freedom that we have today. I pray for their families. Lord, that you would be their source of strength, that you would be their comfort, that you would be their peace. We do remember those who are alive today that are standing to continue to protect that freedom. Father, we recognize, though, that you are King of every nation, you are King of our hearts, and it is to you our loyalty and allegiance lies. So we worship you with song, and now we worship you through the giving of our resources. Continue to bless this time. Continue to work in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Good morning, church family. Welcome to those of you joining us online. If we have not had the privilege of meeting, my name is Christian. I get to serve as the worship pastor here at ACAC. And these last few weeks, maybe for obvious reasons, with us being in the worship series, has been a real blessing to me. Have you been blessed by the worship series, by our time of worship today? Amen. We're looking forward to continuing that with you in a few moments. But as Pastor Allen was praying for the offering, and as we are going through this time together of giving, I couldn't help but think about his sermon illustration from last week that involved a young man by the name of Wee Bobby. That's kind of a funny name, right? But the story had significance in that when the baskets were being passed in a service just like this, he didn't put something in it. He put everything in it because he gave himself. He literally stood in that offering basket. And we didn't want to let this opportunity pass us by to extend an invitation for you to offer yourself for the Lord to use you, if you would feel so led, as part of the worship ministry. I don't know if you knew this, but the verse that we looked at last week, Romans 12:1, the word worship that is in that verse that's translated from the Greek language to our English language, of course, it literally means service. So God, as a part of our worship to him, wants us to serve. Can somebody say amen to that? God wants us to serve. Our worship is not complete if we do not serve. And speaking on behalf of the people behind me, the people in the booth, I happen to believe that the worship ministry is a great place to do that. Of course, that involves playing instruments, it involves singing, but we also have people who serve selflessly every week. You probably never even see or notice them. One's on the camera right now, one's mixing sound. We have some people in the booth. Can we just show them some appreciation for all that they do? So you can be a part of this, and if you are interested, if you're feeling a tug in your heart, I would love to talk to you at the desk right outside of the sanctuary after service, or if you maybe don't have time to stop there, maybe you're watching online, there is a QR code that you're seeing on your screen or to the screens to my right and left and behind me. You can just take out your phone and get some more information that way. But now I invite you to join us as we continue in worshiping the Lord through song today. Team, would you join me?
Lord, you're worthy of my praise. I stand in wonder of your beauty and your power. I stand on holy ground, singing glory and honor, power forever to you, Lord.
Just to dwell here in your courts is better. In your presence, holy, you are holy,
God Almighty.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, holy,
as we sing together.
Please be seated. Singing, lifting our hands, the playing of instruments, all of that is essential to our worship. But as we talked about last week, all of those things are not to be the extent of our worship. Pastor Christian referenced the verse we looked at last week, Romans 12:1. Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, to present your bodies as a living, holy sacrifice, the way that he would find acceptable, and that is truly the way to worship him. That all of our life, that worship ultimately is about us laying our desires, our will, our dreams, all of that on the altar, dying to self, picking up the cross, and following Jesus. Ultimately, that is the way that we worship him. We went back to the book of Genesis and looked at Abraham going to the mountain to worship. The first place that word is introduced in the Bible. And that worship involved actually laying at the altar the very blessing, the very promise of God, which was his son Isaac. But God saved Isaac. He brought a ram. But here is my question for you today. What happens when God doesn't bring the ram? Are you still willing to stay on that altar? What happens when God is truly asking you to lay down your dreams, your desires, your will. Maybe it's the very promise, the blessing of God. And that's how he wants you to worship him. I was reminded of that in the 16th chapter of Acts. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, they're on a missionary journey to a city called Philippi, which is in modern-day Greece. Many of you will remember this story. The beginning of chapter 16 says that they were going to a place of prayer, and there was a young slave girl that was following them. The slave girl was being monopolized and owned by her masters, and she had an evil spirit within her that allowed her to tell the future, and her owners used that evil spirit to tell the future to make money off of her. And this young girl was following Paul and Silas, and almost out of frustration, Paul turns to the girl because she kept shouting, "These are servants of the high God," and he turns to her and he casts out that demon. He was walking in service to the Lord. He was giving his life as an offering, Paul was, on this missionary journey. And he frees this young girl, but it was to the dismay of her owners and masters, because now they had lost their opportunity to make money off of her. So what is their response? They have Paul and they have Silas arrested. And we often just glance or we read through this story so quickly, but I want you to think about this. Because of Paul and Silas's actions of freeing this slave girl, spiritually setting her free, the Bible tells us that they were stripped naked, that they were beaten with wooden rods, and they were thrown into an inner dungeon cell and guarded by a prison guard. Stripped naked, beaten, and thrown in prison and chained up. I don't know what your response would be, but I thought about that this week. God, what would my response be? If I was living out your calling, if I was doing what you had asked me to do, living in my life to glorify you in service to you, and I was arrested, stripped naked, beaten, and thrown in jail. I wish I could tell you that my response was Paul and Silas's response. See, in verse 25, it says it was around the midnight hour. While Paul and Silas were chained up and in that jail, they began praying and they began singing. And the verse concludes and says there were other prisoners listening. Would that be your response? If you were arrested, stripped, beaten, and thrown in jail, what would your first response be? Paul and Silas? I don't know what they were singing, but maybe in that moment, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name." You know, it's easy to lift your voice. It's easy to clap your hands. It's easy for us to shout and to celebrate when God is answering prayers. It's easy to do that when the ram is provided. But how many of you know it's completely a different song when you're in prison and you're chained up? And that is the message for us today. No matter where you may be, that your song and your worship should not be predicated on your circumstance. That maybe the most powerful song is when you sing in the midst of the jail cell. The other prisoners were listening. I challenged you last week at the end of the service that our greatest worship, that the world, our neighbors, our community, they don't care about the song and the worship we sing in these four walls. The greatest testimony is how we live when we get outside these four walls. But let me tell you, they're listening to what song you're singing. And what a testimony it is when they see you go through difficult times. Whatever your chains may be, whatever your prison cell may be, whatever you're stripped naked and beaten is, they are watching your reaction. And what a testimony is if you can lift your song in transparency and authenticity, even singing through tears. That's the testimony. See, God may not break your physical chains at that moment, but what you may not recognize is your song is breaking spiritual chains. When I was interviewing for this job nearly 5 years ago, I asked some of the congregants at that time, I said, "What is your favorite sermon that Pastor Rock, my predecessor, ever preached?" And consistently down the line, and some of you, you already have the answer, and it was a sermon he preached called "The Right Song on the Wrong Side," that is about that very point. That the children of Israel, they sang the right song when God delivered them from the Red Sea, but they sang it on the wrong side. And for you and I, it is another reminder that no matter where you are today, next week, the following weekend, in the middle of the week, your worship shouldn't be predicated upon your circumstance. Bless the Lord at all times. May his praise be continually on our lips. Stand to your feet this morning. Father, my prayer for this weekend, as we conclude not only this time together today in service, but even in this series, that there would be something that happens in us corporately as a church and us and individuals. That you would write a new song on our hearts. That, Lord, we would move beyond singing and responding in praise and worship because everything is going well. That our song would not be louder on the other side of victory. That our hands wouldn't be higher or our leap a little higher when we're on the mountain of victory. But God, in the valley, in the shadow of death, Lord, we would find a song of praise and worship. That through the tears, through the hurt, and through the pain, you would give us that spirit of Paul and Silas in the jail cell. That, Lord, we would see that maybe you have brought us to that moment just so the jailer can come to know you. That maybe you have brought us to that moment to do something greater than we can ever see, but you're waiting to see if we will worship and praise you instead. So God, do that in us. Stir it in us. Elevate our praise today. Elevate our worship today, our energy, so that you receive all the glory. You receive all the power because you are faithful. You are holy. You are worthy. And you are good. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Father, we bless you today. We declare from our hearts that you are blessed forever, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. God, would you receive your glory, not just from our gathering, but from our going. And Lord, as your people go, send them out with your blessing and with a fresh awareness of your nearness to each of us, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.